Although written 2,000 years ago, the Bible is filled with practical insight for those in the workplace. In fact, it's surprising to discover the common struggles among people who labor and the bosses who employ them. Today on Insight for Living, we're giving our complete attention to a dynamic passage written by the Apostle Paul. Our text is Ephesians chapter 6. In just a few verses, Paul provides clear direction to both employees and employers. Let's pick up the study right where we left off on Monday's program. Chuck titled his message, Honoring God in Our Occupations.
This is a sermon about your job. So employees, verses 5 through 8, let's remember four words. Your response is in verse 5. Your motive is addressed in verse 6. Your perspective is in verse 7. And your motivation is in verse 8. First, your response, verse 5. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. First comment I want to make from this passage is that we are to do what we are expected and told to do. Do it with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart. Now look at the perspective in verse 7. With goodwill, render service. If it would help you, let's put it this way, with a positive attitude. Thinking of another way to think or say yes. Yes. I could tell you a half a dozen stories that would keep you, I think, interested in the situation, but I'll not go there. I'll read you someone else's story. I'm going to read you the story of a man whom I've never met, named John W. Schlatter, S-C-H-L-A-T-T-E-R. John happens to work as a teacher. Listen to John's words, because he is a good example of rendering goodwill in his service as a teacher. I am a teacher. I was born the first moment that a question leaped from the mouth of a child. I have been many people in many places. I am Socrates, exciting the youth of Athens to discover new ideas through the use of questions. I am Ann Sullivan, tapping out the secrets of the universe into the outstretched hand of a blind girl named Helen Keller. I am Aesop and Hans Christian Andersen, revealing truth through countless stories. I am Marva Collins, fighting for every child's right to an education. The names of those who have practiced my profession ring like a hall of fame for humanity. Booker T. Washington, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Leo Buscaglia, Moses, even Jesus. I have wept for joy at the weddings of former students, laughed with glee at the birth of their children, and stood with head bowed in grief and confusion by graves dug too soon for bodies far too young to have died. Throughout the course of my day, I have been called upon to be actor, friend, nurse, doctor, coach, finder of lost articles, moneylender, taxi driver, psychologist, substitute parent, salesman, politician, and keeper of the faith. I am a paradox. I speak loudest when I listen the most. My greatest gifts are in what I am willing to appreciatively receive from my students. Material wealth is not one of my goals. But I am a full-time treasure seeker in my quest for new opportunities for my students to use their talents and in my constant search for those talents that sometime lie buried in self-defeat. I am the most fortunate of all who labor. A doctor is allowed to usher life into the world in one magic moment. I'm allowed to see that life is reborn each day with new questions, ideas, and friendships. An architect knows how to build with care, and knows that if he does, his structure may stand for centuries. A teacher knows that if he builds with love and truth, what he builds will last forever. I'm a warrior, daily doing battle against peer pressure, negativity, fear, conformity, prejudice, ignorance, and apathy. But I have great allies: intelligence, curiosity, individuality, creativity, parental support, faith, love, and laughter. All of these things rush to my banner with indomitable support. And who do I have to thank for this wonderful life? I am so fortunate to experience, but you, the public, the parents, for you have done me the great honor to entrust me your greatest contribution to eternity, your own child. And so I have a past that is rich in memories. I have a present that is challenging and adventurous and fun because I'm allowed to spend my days with the future. I am a teacher, and I thank God for it every day. Where was he when I was going to school? That's what I want to know. You have a teacher like that, you'll never be the same. You have a teacher who was on the opposite side, you'll never be the same. You have a coach who represents this kind of diligence and commitment and love and passion. It changed your life. Now, that's just teaching. That's just one profession. That's one world. What is yours? What is yours? Some dot-com company? Some work behind the scenes? A nurse who serves patients? An attorney who helps people in the struggles of life, being their advocate when it seems they have none other? Is it working at a shop that's rather grimy and grungy and doesn't seem all that significant? But it's a product. It's a product that has your name on it. Is that it? Is it a service that you render to the public? Is it sales? Stepping before the people who may have a need for that particular product, and you have the opportunity to help them see the value of that in their lives. With goodwill, render service as to the Lord and not to men. You notice in all four of the verses to employees, there's a reference to the Lord? Why, of course. In sincerity of your heart as to Christ, verse 5. Doing the will of God from the heart as slaves of Christ, verse 6. With good will, do it as to the Lord, verse 7. Now look at the motivation. Knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. Isn't that great? See the words receive back? We get our word commission from the Greek term komizo. K-O-M-I-Z-O, komizo. We get commission. You say, commission? Where is that? Let me see where that... Here it is, but it's not the kind of commission you're used to. It's not in dollars and cents. It's in eternal rewards that will come. It's benefits that will come your way in the eyes of God because he sees the work you do, and it's done for the right reason, with the right motive, and for his glory, without a lot of the praise of men and women, and you've done it and you continue to do it. He says you will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. Put in the margin of your Bible, Hebrews 6:10, God is not unjust to forget your work or the labor of love which you show toward his name. He won't forget. You're in a room behind the scenes serving in a hospice setting. The one whom you serve is too sick to say thank you and has long since forgotten some of the kindnesses of life. He will not forget your work as you take care of her or him. You're in a profession that gets a lot of flack, not a lot of credit, and very little glory. He will not forget your work. You're serving the Lord Christ. Let me pause here and add just another comment for you who work for others. This is your contribution to the life God has given you. He has ordained you to be in this role. Isn't that a great thought? And I will tell you, you will catch the attention of individuals like you cannot believe. More on that in a moment. Let's talk to the bosses for a few minutes. Masters, verse 9, do the same things. Isn't that great? Paul says, ditto. Everything I've said to the employee, you do as an employer. What does that mean? Well, you want respect? Show respect to those people who work with you. You believe in dignity? Model dignity to those who are a part of your organization. You want diligence? Be diligent. You want integrity? Represent integrity. You want a good attitude? Have a good attitude yourself. You want passion and motivation? Let them see that displayed in you. That's the positive side. Do the same things to them. And the negative is give up threatening. Isn't that great? I've fired people for less than that. Boy, isn't that motivating? Doesn't that encourage the employee? No, don't threaten. You lead another song like that we heard today and you're through. Boy, that'd have really encouraged, wouldn't it? That doesn't encourage people who work alongside us. Don't threaten. That doesn't work. Model it. Examples? I've made a list. Keep your promises. Pay fair wages. Provide necessary benefits. Have a heart. Give affirmation and encouragement every day to someone. Provide a safe and wholesome environment that's clean and encouraging. Tell the truth. Guard against prejudice and preferential treatment. Whenever possible, promote from within. Keep the atmosphere positive and helpful. Maintain confidentiality. Show compassion. That's a good start, huh? Who wouldn't want to work for a boss like that? Who wouldn't want to be part of an organization like that? But you know what? That example is the exception rather than the rule. You know that? Studs Terkel has written a book entitled simply, Working. It's sort of a human anthology of the results of his interviewing thousands of people across America regarding their jobs. The subtitle of the book is People Talk About What They Do and How They Feel About What They Do. The opening lines of his penetrating book, Working, are, this book being about work is by its very nature about violence. To the spirit as well as to the body, it is about ulcers as well as accidents, about shouting matches as well as fist fights, about nervous breakdowns as well as kicking the dog around. It is above all about daily humiliations. That's tragic, isn't it? This is a sermon about your job. And if you happen to be one of those bosses who humiliates the people who work for you, I need to warn you, you really ought never talk to him about Christ. Don't ever go there. You see, the wonderful thing about a truly Christian organization is that it comes from within the core values of it. It's not something that's put on display. So this is my chance to add a little couple of pieces of advice. Please don't feel the need to put a cross or a fish on your stationery. Okay? We'll know if it's a Christian company. We can tell. It's like people that put ichthuses or fish on their cars and they down the traffic. I would never put a fish on my pickup. I can assure you, I will never do that. Because I'm not always a great example of a Christian driver. So why confuse the subject? Don't put religious trappings on stuff thinking that somehow it'll make your outfit a Christian outfit. Let me visit with people within the organization. Let me talk to your colleagues. Let me find out about the fairness of the raises that you've been giving, or the benefits you've been providing, or the care and compassion you have in knowing those people by name as well as by needs. And if you provide a Bible study, please don't force people to come to it. in your company. Make it so good they can't stay away. Don't shame them or demote them or look down on them if they don't come to your Christian group. It's okay. It may not be worth coming to. If it is, they got brains. They'll figure it out. They'll come. They'll love it. You see, when we make quality our goal and those core values Christ honoring, you won't ever lack for employees. You'll have more resumes than you can keep up with. But the problem is you won't need to see too many because your folks will stay on and on and on. This is a sermon about your job. It really is a sermon about Christ-likeness outside the church. And just one more little advice. Quoting verses and carrying a Bible doesn't add to the Christian quality of your company. Okay? You don't have to do that. Just good work. Just quality product. Fairness and generosity and grace and mercy and integrity. Never padding the record when you fill out the expense account. Never overreaching on the bid. No, you don't do that. Paying the bills on time, if not early. Because that's what it means to follow Christ. Knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. You know what this is really about? This is not so much a sermon about your job. It's a sermon about life. It's a sermon about life. He owns it all. I love the words of the great Dutch prime minister who announced, his name is Abraham Kuyper. There is not one square inch of the entire creation about which Jesus Christ does not cry out, "This is mine. This is mine." You're a Christian, your company is his. You're a Christian employee, your work is his. Your product is done for him. You do music, do it well, or don't do it. You write, write well, or don't bother us. You have a service, make it the best in the city that you can possibly make it. And you will find that you will have little difficulty talking to people about your Savior. This is another sermon, but I hope it's one you won't forget. I believe this with all my heart. And my only regret is that God called me to do his work in a rather closed environment rather than to be able to do his work in a setting where the culture doesn't know about him. So please, since you're there, represent him well and for his glory. Let's bow together, shall we? This is straight talk, I understand. This is not designed to make you feel good or to have you leave thinking, well, I wonder what that was about. I think you know what this was about. I'm ministering today to people who are in professions that have become more and more marked by mediocrity. Make a difference in that, huh? You're engaged in behind-the-scenes work where nobody even notices. Hey, make a difference back there. Make a difference. Do it well. And if you're the boss, don't remind them of it. Just live in such a way that nobody would doubt that you're the one who leads the pace. You're the one who sets it. If you've never met the Lord Jesus, this is a perfect occasion to do that. This is just ideal. It's not religious. It's thoroughly Christian. It's not about ministry. It's about the working world. This isn't about secular or sacred. It's about life. Give your life to him today. Our Father, I pray that you would help all of us to hear what this is saying about us. Where we spend so much of our time, where we earn our living, where we relate to a world that's lost its way. Help us, our Father, to get a grasp of the significance of our calling and to know that whatever it is, we have been ordained of God to do it. May this message make a difference in the way companies are run by people who run them hearing this message. May it make a difference in the services rendered by those who render service listening to this message today. Be glorified, our Father, in our work through the week, just as we ask you to be glorified in our worship as we gather in this setting. I ask it in the name of Christ, our Lord. Amen.
And with Chuck Swindoll's closing prayer, we conclude a 2-day study in Ephesians 6 about honoring God in our occupations. And please stay with us because we've preserved several minutes at the close of today's program to hear some personal news from Chuck. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. And then let me remind you that Insight for Living Ministries has created a number of resources that we believe will enhance your Christmas season. If you're looking to enrich your spiritual journey in December, or perhaps you're shopping for gifts and stocking stuffers, please take some time to consider your options at insight.org/store. In particular, I'll point out a favorite. It's the large classic volume called Craigle's Treasury of Illustrated Bible Stories. This impressive book includes 125 stories from the Old Testament and 125 stories from the New Testament, with corresponding paintings designed to capture the imagination of your entire family. Craigle's Treasury of Illustrated Bible Stories will become a keepsake that'll be remembered for years to come. To purchase a copy right now, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/store. Chuck?
Every brother in this vast world would be fortunate to have a big sister like mine whose name was Lucy. Just a few years my senior, and what an enormous inspiration she was to me. Gratefully, most of my memories about my sis are filled with hilarious laughter. One spontaneous story after another, Lucy would have our entire family doubled over, laughing so hard our eyelids flipped out. And the memory of those lighthearted moments helps us right now. Because as most of you know, we lost Lucy just a few weeks ago. Her 3-year decline ended on the 20th of October when she left us and stepped into the gates of glory. I share this personal sorrow with you because I know that you have suffered some losses in 2020 as well. It may not have been the death of your sister, but perhaps you went through a financial setback, maybe a layoff from your job, or even the loss of your health. I want you to know that I see you, I hear you, and I share your sadness. More importantly, God does. The prophet Isaiah described Jesus as a man of sorrows and acquainted with our deepest grief. And so, this month, as we close the books on one of the most challenging years in human history, we do so not in defeat, but in the anticipated joy of heaven's promise. And as we finish the last chapter of 2020 and open a brand new page to 2021, I invite you to join us in our all-out effort to bring this joy, hope, and comfort to a global audience of men and women just like you and me. Many are confused by a year of profound losses. With all my heart, I've never felt stronger about bringing joy to the joyless, hope to the hopeless, and great comfort to you who hurt. And you can do that with me by financially supporting Insight for Living. You know, Lucy inherited a Swindoll trait
like me, she was, well, kind of loud. She attended the church I pastor every Sunday morning, and I knew exactly where she was sitting because of her booming contralto voice when we would sing those hymns and songs of praises. There was such beauty and fullness in the music because of her voice. As her brother and the preacher, I'll admit to you, I found solace and great delight in hearing Lucy take the harmony as I would usually take the melody. And now it's your turn. This is your time of the year to harmonize with us. We need your voice, too. Insight for Living has never missed a day of broadcasting in 2020. And as long as God gives me breath, I'll be right here for you every single day of 2021. Please follow God's lead and let us hear from you. Give whatever amount He has placed on your heart, but do so soon. Together, let's tell the world you're not alone. God hears your voice.
Please take this occasion to let your voice be heard. And here's how to respond to Chuck Swindoll right now. If you're listening in the United States, call this number, 1-800-772-8888. You can also use our convenient mobile app or go directly to our website at insight.org. For nonprofit ministries like Insight for Living, there's no more important month in the calendar year than December. And so if God directs you to give a year-end donation, you can do that by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or give online at insight.org. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll begins a message about standing firm against satanic schemes. That's next time on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Honoring God in Our Occupations, was copyrighted in 2000, 2001, and 2009. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2009 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.